Tam manarupam vajham jagadhamadisham
Atmanam atracha paratracha kamapuram
Atmanam atracha paratracha kamapuram
Syan netavangrir aranam sritibhir brahmantya
Syan netavangrir aranam sritibhir brahmantya
Jo vai bhajantam upayatyan rita pavarga
Yo vai bhajantam upayatyanta pavarga
Tam
tvanu rupam avajam jagatam adisham Metavangri haranam shri bibhramantya Yourself anurupam suitable abhajam I have chosen jagatam of all the worlds adisham the ultimate master Atmanam, the Supreme Soul. Atcha, in this life. Cha, and. Paracha, in the next life. Cha, also. Kama, of desires. Puram, the fulfiller. Shat, may they be. Me, for me. Tava, your angri feet, aranam shelter, strib here by the various movements from one species of life to another. Brahmancha, who has been wandering? Yaha, feet, which feet? Vai, indeed. Bhajantam, their worshipper, upayati, approach, anrita, from untruth, apavargaha, freedom. Translation, because you are suitable for me, I have chosen you, the master and supreme soul of all the worlds, who fulfill our desires in this life and in the next. May your feet, which give freedom from illusion by approaching the worshipper, give shelter to me, who have been wandering from one material situation to another. Translation responsibly. Because you are suitable for me,
because you are suitable for me,
I have chosen you,
I have chosen you,
the master and supreme soul of all the worlds,
the master and supreme soul of all the worlds,
who fulfill our desires in this life and the next. May your feet, which give freedom from illusion, by approaching their worshipper, give shelter to me, who have been wandering from one material situation to another. Purport. An alternative reading for the word sribir is shrutibir. So, in the synonyms, sribir was translated as by the various movements from one species of life to another. So, different meanings of that word are given here. An alternate reading for the word sribir is shrutibi, in which case the idea Rukmini expresses is this. Quote, I have been bewildered by hearing from various religious scriptures about numerous rituals and ceremonies with their promises of fruitful results. Unquote. Srila Sridhara Swami gives this explanation, while Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur give an additional idea Rukmini might express with the word Shrutibi. Quote, my dear Lord Krishna, I was bewildered by hearing about your various incarnations. I heard that when you descended as Ram, you abandoned your wife Sita, and that in this life you abandoned the gopis. Thus I was bewildered. It is understood that Srimati Rukmini Devi is the eternally liberated consort of Lord Krishna. But in these verses, she humbly plays the part of a mortal woman taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So, here, Sri Rukmini is as described in the last part of this purport. She's suddenly experiencing great humility, which is very natural. It is a natural quality or attribute of her eternal intimate relationship with Krishna. And in these verses, of course, she has been praising Krishna for all his wonderful qualities. And that remembrance of Krishna, when it is done properly, naturally evokes humility. And it is a natural emotion which arises from the soul. And therefore, we hear in the verse glorifying the six Goswamis of Vrindavan that they were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the qualities of the Lord. One time when I was in Sydney, I was actually meditating on that, and someone asked me, you know, how do we stay humble? And, just quoting that verse from Srinivasacharya, if we always remember the qualities of Krishna, of God, it's actually very hard to be puffed up. if you actually remember how wonderful and glorious and great, powerful and loving, reciprocal, unlimited is the Supreme Lord, then, you know, when we consider our own, you know, position, it's very hard to actually get puffed up, and it's natural to develop that mood of humility. So Srimati Rukmini, she has developed this mood of humility, which is a sign of Krishna consciousness, a very important sign. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shishastikam, eight essential prayers that sum up the mood of a devotee and the essence of all, you know, teachings in Krishna consciousness. In the third sloka, he says, Chanadapi snichanatarodapi sahishnana manina manadina kiritaniya sadahari. That one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, think of oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. So he says that in that state of mind, one can always chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So without those qualities, without that mood, one cannot develop Krishna consciousness nicely. It is a symptom if that humility is not there, that one is, you know, by and large, remaining in illusion. There is some false, puffed up conception of who we are. We're not seeing ourselves as the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. We're seeing ourselves as some almighty enjoyer. So, but that humility, you know, that is there, and it is a quality which is goes hand in hand with the development of Krishna consciousness, and one who develops that can actually progress very nicely in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was meditating upon this, within him, his humility increased again. And then he spoke the next verse. Nādhanam nājanam nāsandhanim kevitam vajra girishikāme māma janmini janmini shvahe bhavatad bhakti aitiki tvahi. He says that I have no desire to accumulate. What's that? Accumulate wealth. But what does he address? Does he say, "I son of Nandamaraj"? That's the next one, isn't it? Yeah. He says, "I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. All I want is your causeless devotional service, birth after birth." So, a lot of the sentiments actually expressed in that fourth Shishastrika verse, expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, whose expansion is Srimati Rukmini Devi, those same sentiments we can find in this verse here. that, first of all, that mood of humility, because in that verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that, birth after birth, he is taking the position that he is a conditioned soul rotating in the cycle of birth and death, like that. So, this is the same mood that Rukmini has taken here, that she is a conditioned soul rotating in the cycle of birth and death. So you see here, she is saying, give shelter to me who have been wandering from one material situation to another. Right? And this word, stribir, by the various movements from one species of life to another. she has... considering herself to be illusioned and following the various, as is described here, I have been bewildered by hearing from various religious scriptures about numerous rituals and ceremonies with their promises of fruit of results. So she is, taking that path that I have been illusioned. So many flowery words and, different religious principles, beginning religious principles, which are meant for those who are still very much materially attached. People become bewildered, by those flowery words, and they become attracted to perform religious activities in order to gain some profit, advance their material situation, or even to gain liberation. So they become bewildered, as if that is the goal of life. And as a result of following various different activities like that, what to speak of those who don't follow any religious principles, they become, they remain in the cycle of birth and death. So, and sometimes, because of the nature of this material world, which is very contaminating, sometimes, persons go to the heavenly planets and sometimes they come tumbling down, to the earth planet again, and sometimes lower to, hellish planets, sometimes into animal species of life like this, up and down, like that. So, Srimati Rukmini is taking that position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also is taking, his prayer has that same mood. So that is the humility of devotees who actually have love of God. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati comments that where there is the presence of love of God, the natural symptom is this humility. When the actual presence of love of God is there, a devotee thinks, I don't have a pinch of love of God. So when love of God is there, that's what the devotee feels. That I don't have any love, of God. And, they feel, this devotee, they have this, wonderful, by their activities and their wonderful qualities, they are showing symptoms of love of God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, the Lord, when he appeared, he showed symptoms of love of God. You know, when he saw the deity of Jagannath, he fainted with unconsciousness. You know, he just so went into such ecstatic rapture that just seeing the deity. So he has love of God. Srimati Radharani has love of God. Rukmini Devi has love of God. All these great devotees. Uddhava, the Pandavas, they're prepared to do so much on behalf of the Lord. But a devotee, they actually feel, I have no love of God. But those who actually don't have love of God, they advertise themselves as big devotees. They advertise that, you know, they criticize the actual devotees that, yes, you may have some, you know, philosophical knowledge of, you know, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra. Yes, you may, you know, practice some austerities and, you know, you're a scholar and a gentleman, whatever, but you're not a devotee. We are devotees, we are, you know, absorbed in the, you know, highest transcendental rasas. We're absorbed in the most confidential, you know, mood of love of God, and we're very eager for that, always relishing, you know, pure, spontaneous, transcendental devotional service like that. So that's, you know, that's how they consider themselves. The problem is that they're actually mistaking, you know, so of course that sort of lack of humility is a certain giveaway, that, you know, the Krishna consciousness is not there. And, you know, advertising oneself as an advanced devotee, seeking adoration from others, fame, distinction, I am better than the rest. They're all material, you know, searching for material things. People who are searching for material things like that do not have love of God, because love of God is the greatest pleasure. Then why are they searching for something less? One who actually has love of God, they do not search for anything less, because they have the highest. So they, Srila Prabhupada actually, answering a letter to one of his disciples, this is 1969, so one of his lady disciples wrote a letter asking Srila Prabhupada, you know, about, you know, when you feel emotion for Krishna in kirtan, and, you know, you may shed tears. She wanted Srila Prabhupada to explain that, you know, is that wrong? You know, what does it mean? What sign is that? Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, if we have emotions and tears for Krishna because we want to be with Krishna, or we, you know, we feel separated from Krishna, they're spiritual emotions. But if we imitate devotees who have those emotions in order to advertise itself, then it's just a bodily function. Okay. It's just external. Because, you know, the potency, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami, that chanting Hare Krishna, especially in the association of advanced devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, residing in the holy dham, you know, these activities are so powerful and potent that they can, you know, arouse ecstasy, you know, spiritual sentiments, even, you know, in the hearts of neophytes. Of course, if those, you know, neophytes in the association of advanced devotees, and they're reflecting literally the ecstasy of the advanced devotees, if they keep in the association of the devotees, then that sort of, you know, almost shadow type of ecstasy becomes more permanent, and you know, like that. So it's not that, you know, devotees cannot have you know, experience, you know, some spiritual emotion and sentiment and ecstasy for Krishna. But certainly if someone is displaying those as an advertisement, as, you know, advancement in Krishna consciousness, then really they're not spiritual sentiments and they're just bodily functions. They're external. So the sadhika, you know, the practicing devotee, in this prayer, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasandrim, Kavitamba, Jigirishakamani, Mama Janmini, Janmini, Sri, Babatad Bhakti, Tiki, Twai. You know, I'm all Lord, I do not desire wealth, you know, followers, like this beautiful wife, this, that. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us in this verse that if the devotee, the practicing devotee, if they do not sever attachment to material enjoyment, then their spiritual identity cannot manifest. And so there is no question of bhava or ecstatic spiritual emotions. Right? If we remain in the bodily concept of life, trying to enjoy the material world, by not severing our attachment to it, enjoying the material world, then our spiritual identity doesn't manifest. If our spiritual identity doesn't manifest, we cannot manifest spiritual emotions, Baba. So, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us, you know, that in this verse, that we must sever these attachments. And therefore, you know, in this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given the instruction that, you know, if we want to chant Hare Krishna and make progress, we have to very attentively chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and at the same time destroy these anarthas, you know, unwanted desires within the heart. And if we do that, then a devotee will advance very, very nicely and very quickly, you know, towards pure love of God. If a devotee doesn't do that, if they chant but don't try to actually destroy these unwanted things within the heart as well, if they leave them as they are, their progress is very, very much stunted. So that is, you know, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, another lesson there in that same verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has that prayer. You know, those sentiments are echoed here by Sri Rukmini Devi. And one time, Srila Prabhupada, he was speaking on a verse, Bhagavad Gita, 1966, the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, text number 22. And he was saying that, you know, one who has this consciousness, this serious mentality of, you know, understanding that there's no question of happiness in the material world. One who has that understanding, they can perform the process of Krishna consciousness very nicely. If that understanding is there. If someone is thinking, if I can somehow improve my material condition, you know, by going to the material, to the heavenly planets, or, you know, by some arrangement in this world, you know, somehow, then, you know, I will be happy. If someone is thinking like that, they're in illusion. They're in the bodily concept of life. But, you know, knowing a devotee who has that consciousness that, you know, this material world, any arrangement we make in this material world is not going to make us happy. That sort of mentality will help one to advance very quickly in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that, you know, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing that. And, you know, if that mentality is there, of course, if that mentality is not there, that one is, you know, thinking, oh, you know, I will chant Hare Krishna and at the same time, you know, I'll make so many arrangements to enjoy. I really think I can have, you know, one last shot of trying to be happy in the material world. If that mentality is there, actually they cannot manifest dridabrata, or, you know, determination. They cannot make determined vows, you know, in Krishna consciousness. You know, because they are, you know, that illusion, the doubts, that is there. So, therefore, Krishna actually speaks a particular. Can I get a? Someone pass me a Bhagavad Gita, thanks. Thank you. So, actually, in order to encourage the devotees to manifest that sort of determination, Krishna speaks a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, text number 22. Which Srila Prabhupada says this is a very important verse for the devotees. Actually, just something that came to mind as we were talking before about how Rukmini here is considering herself a... she's taking the mood that she is an ordinary, you know, mortal, transmigrating in the cycle of birth and death. And we're discussing the verse on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's verse, the fourth verse of the Shushaskavam, where he takes the, you know, similar mood that he is, you know, rotating in the cycle of birth and death. But he's praying for shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. So we're discussing how devotees who have pure love of God, they have that humility. That is the natural symptoms where, you know, when love of God is not there, they try and advertise, you know, as big devotees. So when Srila Prabhupada was actually I heard one lecture the other day, and he was talking about how we should, you know, we are full of four defects. You know, we make mistakes, we have imperfect senses, we're prone to be illusioned, and we're prone to cheat. Therefore, because we have those defects, because we're conditioned souls, we should hear from authorities, those who are devotees, and then we will get perfect knowledge. So when he was discussing that, he began to cough, a very disturbing cough came about, and it made it, you know, very difficult for him to speak. So he was saying, just see, you know, because we're a conditioned soul, you know, I can barely speak. So he was, you know, taking that position, that humble position also, that, you know, I am a conditioned soul, rotating in this cycle of birth and death, you know, with this material body. Because Srila Prabhupada is not a conditioned soul. Srimati Rukmini Devi is not a conditioned soul. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a conditioned soul. But they, you know, all exhibit the proper mood of a pure devotee, that a pure devotee doesn't advertise himself as some, you know, great pure devotee, but they, you know, they have that mood. I'm just, you know, a fallen soul. Anyway, it's just something that came to mind. But Krishna, he speaks this verse to give encouragement to the devotees to manifest this determination. So in order to encourage them, he says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paripasati tesham nichibhyuktanam yogakshima vaham yaham. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. A very, very important verse. So, you know, Krishna is saying, you know, if devotees, they're meditating on Krishna with exclusive devotion, that's how they're spending all their time. So therefore, it's natural that they, you know, are going to neglect the business of earning money. You know, they're not putting as much effort into, you know, earning money, maintaining the body, searching after liberation. There's some service to do for Krishna, let me do that. So in one sense they're neglecting, you know, ordinary maintenance, you know, to some degree there. Things are going on, but they're not over-endeavouring. But Krishna says, that to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So Srila Prabhupada, in commenting on this, he says, you know, Krishna is saying, dear Mr. Materialist, you know, because he says the materialist, they're sort of always putting doubts in the hearts of the devotees. That you are, you know, you're engaged in this Krishna consciousness. You know, you're wasting your time. You could have a, you know, a big career, and you could be making lots of money. You could be, you know, traveling. You know, you could have all these wonderful things. You know, we have so much to enjoy, and you devotees are missing out on all of it. And there's not even any guarantee that you're going to go back. What's the guarantee that you'll go back to Godhead or like this? So Krishna says, Krishna is to the materialist, dear Mr. Materialist, you know, don't think like that. And devotees, don't listen to those materialists, because, you know, I am giving you my assurance that you will be happy in this life and the next life. So, you know, that verse there, Krishna giving his assurance, that helps the devotee to develop that humble mood and that mood that, you know, I don't need to search out after liberation, material things in this world, or even liberation. You know, I just need to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, perform my devotional service nicely, and, you know, Krishna will certainly make all sorts of arrangements that I will be maintained, and happy in this life and the next. So, Rukmini here also expressing these similar sentiments, she is saying, I have chosen you, the Master and Supreme Soul of all the worlds, who fulfill our desires in this life and the next. So, Rukmini Devi, she is addressing the Lord, Jagatam, and in that verse also by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he expresses the Lord as Jagadish, in Shishastika 4. You know, the Lord of the worlds, Lord of all three worlds, material worlds, spiritual worlds, the Supreme Soul of all the worlds, who fulfills our desires in this life and the next. So again, Srimati Rukmini Devi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are, you know, have this mood from Krishna's own assurance that in this life and the next life, you know, their happiness is guaranteed. That is the confidence of a devotee. So therefore they can, you know, go on with their devotional service with determination. They don't have to have doubt, they don't have to, you know, fear. Krishna is giving that assurance. And all the pure devotees of the Lord, they execute devotional service in that mood. If we execute devotional service in that mood, we can advance very nicely in, you know, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If we feel, you know, if we're very doubtful and we think, no, you know, I don't know if I should, you know, spend so much time, you know, devoted to Krishna, because, you know, I might miss out in the material world. If we have that, then you cannot make that, you know, determined vow to, you know, push on that in this life I will become, you know, put everything aside, this life is for Krishna consciousness. I don't have to worry about everything else, because that's okay, Krishna will look after things in this life and in the next life. See, that sort of determination is what the Lord is trying to assure us in, and that sort of mood is very important if we want to actually, you know, make solid progress in chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Krishna consciousness. That's you know, being expressed here by Rukmini Devi. And because the Lord Krishna is addressed here as the soul of all souls, you know, the supreme soul of all the worlds, then, you know, why can he not fulfill the desires of, you know, those devotees. He is maintaining all other living entities, those who are not serving him. Why would he not, you know, maintain his dearmost devotees, who, you know, he claims in many different places that they are more dear to him than his, you know, very life? Why would he not maintain his devotees? What sort of a faulty process would that be? You know, that if you, you know, forget about God, I'll look after you really well. And if you become really God conscious, I'm just going to neglect you. You know, see? You know. But it's the opposite. Actually, you know, Krishna directly, you know, look, he personally, he says here actually, in this verse, that I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So, therefore, when we execute our Krishna consciousness, we should not execute Krishna consciousness with the mood that I am performing devotional service and I am praying that my material situation will become, you know, improved by my devotional service. We shouldn't be thinking like that. I'm doing devotional service, and by devotional service, my material situation will improve. Or I'm doing devotional service, and by that, I will become liberated. The proper mood of devotional service is there's no business transactions. Because if we have that mood, then if those things don't come, we think, well, I won't do devotional service. My material condition didn't improve. I didn't get liberated. I won't do devotional service. A devotee shouldn't have that mood. A devotee, their mood is nādanam nājanam nāsandhiram kavitam bhajagirishikam hai mama janmini janmanishri bhavatad bhakti hati ki tvai. That my only desire is that to, you know, render unconditional devotional service birth after birth. And Rukmini Devi, in the Krishna book, actually Srila Prabhupada sort of paraphrases her statement here like this. He's saying, Rukmini says, I don't care whether you place me in any species of life. I don't care at all. I only care that I remain fast, you know, hold fast to your lotus feet. So, you know, that is the mood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is what is being spoken here also by Rukmini Devi. That is the mood of the devotee. They're not doing business. Because a devotee, they actually don't need to, one who has developed Krishna consciousness, as stated in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is the highest attainment upon which, attaining that, there is nothing more to attain. The nature of Krishna consciousness is that if we have Krishna consciousness, if we're engaged in devotional service, then all other lesser things are not needed. We don't desire them anymore because we have the highest. Srila Prabhupada says, you know, in relationship to that, that Krishna consciousness and Krishna is identical. In other words, if you're intimately connected with, you know, to Krishna through devotional service, that is non-different from Krishna. Having Krishna, having attained Krishna, a devotee does not need to attain anything else. So, and that should be our only desire, to, you know, have desire Krishna consciousness. That desire stated here by Rukmini, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that let me hold fast to your lotus feet. Let me always remember Krishna. If we have one desire, that should be it. Let me always remember Krishna. that if we have that desire, all other desires, you know, fade away. Srila Prabhupada says that is actually desirelessness. We cannot be desireless if we try to just say, I will become desireless. I will have no desires for anything in the material world. I will not desire liberation. I will not desire anything. We will never be successful, because the very nature of the soul is that, you know, it is desire. It has desire. But Srila Prabhupada says that desireless means that we have a bona fide desire, not a foolish desire. A bona fide desire is to, you know, always want to cooperate in service with the Supreme, in the same way that, you know, the hand naturally wants to serve the body. So if the hand is serving the body, you know, giving food and doing so many services, that's natural for the hand. Right? And in the same way, because we're actually part and parcel of Krishna, it's natural for us to want to desire to serve Krishna. In the same way that the part of the body serves the whole, we, as part of the supreme whole, the absolute truth, we have a natural desire. So that desire is actually desirelessness. And that desire brings the supreme transcendental pleasure. So so when we chant Hare Krishna, because it, basically this, you know, this verse here, if we actually take this verse, which has the same sentiments that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expresses in his Shishastrikam, the same mood that the pure devotees, you know, manifest. If we take this verse, you can actually chant Hare Krishna in the proper mood and engage in the proper activities as a devotee and make very solid progress. So, that, you know, this verse here teaching us how to chant Hare Krishna. What are we thinking when we're chanting Hare Krishna? If we're chanting Hare Krishna and thinking, boy, I chanted such nice rounds today, I'm sure I'm going to, you know, get a promotion at my work, you know, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, I'm going to get that trip overseas. I'm sure I'm going to get this. I'm sure that, you know, I'm going to get that house that I'm looking for, trying to rent a house. I'm sure the troubles that I'm in will be fixed up, you know, because I'm chanting such a good. That's not what we're thinking. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, one thing is in our mind, and that is, you know, I want to serve Krishna. That's it. That's how we chant Hare Krishna. That's, you know, what is staying here. And doesn't matter. You put me in any material situation, life after life, I don't care. Just one desire, let me always remember you. But a devotee knows, if they're always remembering Krishna, they're not in illusion. They're not in material life, and they're completely liberated. Yeah. They don't have to search out for liberation separately. There's a story of Bilva Mangala Thakura. And because Srila Prabhupada actually, in describing the story of Srila Bilva Mangala Thakura, he expressed one prayer that for a devotee, liberation comes knocking at the door, and with folded palms stands before the devotee praying, what can I do, well, what service can I offer you? And the devotee is thinking, well, nothing. I'm not interested. I don't really need you. I don't need your service. That is the position of the devotee. Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, for a devotee, if they have that determination to serve Krishna, they're liberated. And that's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, verse 28, that those who are free from sinful life, always engage in pious activities, for them they can execute this, you know, they're free from duality, free from delusion, they can execute Krishna consciousness with determination. That's a symptom of, you know, beginning liberation, at least. They're free from delusion. They understand, I'm Krishna's servant. They have no doubts. The only thing I have to do in this life is serve Krishna. There's nothing else. That is it. And I'm determined that I'm going to do it properly in this life. That is liberated. If someone is thinking, oh, I don't know whether I should serve Krishna or not, you know, maybe I should, you know, maybe, I just don't know, maybe I will. Then that is a sign that there's still delusion, there is duality, still some bodily concept of life. Therefore, there's not the determined desire to serve Krishna. That's not liberated. So, you know, a devotee who has that determined desire to serve Krishna, that's a liberated position. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that if someone says, you know, if someone asks, is a devotee liberated? And Krishna is explaining, these are the symptoms of liberation. If someone says, oh, has that high court judge, you know, passed the examination for, you know, to be a lawyer, you know, his legal examination? It's understood. If he's a high court judge, he's done everything previous to that. Right? He's already a good lawyer, you know, excellent lawyer, he's done this, he's done that. It's understood, automatically understood, that everything, you know, under that is there. So in the same way, for a devotee who's, you know, fixed up in that determination to serve Krishna, it's understood that liberation is there. In fact, you know, liberation comes knocking on their door. Can I serve you? And there's that story of Bilva Mangala Thakur, that Bilva Mangala Thakur, he was a Brahmana. Originally he was an impersonalist. But he was very attached to one prostitute named Chintamani. And, you know, he was very, very attached. In fact, when he was at his father's funeral, I think it was, or you know, he was trying to hurry up the priest. He says, "Come on, get on with it, because you know I want to go and you know I have someone to visit." You know, so he's, you know, at his father's funeral, and he's just thinking, "If I can get out of here quick, I can go and see Chintamani." So anyway, on that day, it just poured raining, a big storm, and he's like, "I'm going anyway." And because it was such a big storm, no boatman would take anyone across the river. So he swam. The river's raging, his currents, you know, he risked his life swimming across the river. To get across, he had to grab hold of what he thought was a log, which was actually a dead body floating, you know. And somehow he got to the other side, and then when he got there, of course, Chintamani, she'd locked up, she thought, oh, you know, he's not coming tonight. Who would come out and... He got there, all the compound walls, locks, so he had to scale these walls. At one time he thought he was grabbing hold of a vine, he was grabbing hold of a snake, stumbled down the other side, knock on the door, Chintamani answers the door. "What are you doing here? You know, how could you come on such a night?" And she said to him that if you could show such determination to develop your love for God as what you've done for me, your life would be sublime. So anyway, Bilva Mangala Thakur, he immediately took that, you know, instruction. You're correct. If I showed the determination that I use in my material life, in my Krishna consciousness, my life would be, you know, sublime, spiritual, perfect. So he took that. So he went to Vrindavan. He actually lived in Vrindavan for 700 years. But when he got to Vrindavan, he made the same mistake again. He became attracted to a Brahmana's wife. Anyway, to cut a long story short, he actually took out his own eyes. Not recommended. But he was very, you know, he was very determined that, you know, don't, and people should not imitate that, but, you know, we need our eyes. But he was very determined that, you know, these eyes have caused me so much trouble, you know, now they are gone. Now I'll just think of Krishna. And so he was meditating on Krishna, and he was sitting, and actually, you know, he developed very nicely his love of God. And one time this little boy come past, and he says, "I live in this village, I see that you are here, you're blind, you're chanting, you know, very nicely, you know, in pure love of God. So, you know, I can bring you some milk daily and things like this." So, you know, they developed some friendship, and he would daily. And then one time, you know, after some time, Bilva Mangala Dakor realized that this little boy was Krishna. Krishna was personally coming and bringing him milk. And so he composed that prayer, that when Krishna is personally bringing me milk daily, what need do I have for liberation? And similarly, you know, in this verse, in the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, text 22, someone may doubt that, you know, Krishna, you know, he's not personally going to look after his devotee. Maybe he'll do it through some of his agents or what have you. But Srila Prabhupada actually tells a story about Arjunacharya. And one time he was a brahmana. He was studying this verse of Bhagavad Gita, this verse, that those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So when he got to that, he thought, that's not right. Krishna's not personally going to come. And so he scratched out the word, he wrote over it with red pencil or something, with a word that says Vahami, you know. He crossed that out and he put Karomi, meaning, you know, Krishna's personally not coming. He'll send some agent or, you know, some people will give charity, so like that. So anyway, Arjunacharya, after he did that, he then went out begging as he usually did. But when he was out begging, he found that no one was giving him any foods that day. You know, there was no charity. Everyone had some excuses. Anyway, while he was out, his wife was at home, and these two boys, one very, you know, beautiful boys, one very dark, one very light, you can guess who they might be. They came to the door and are very anxious and a bit fearful, and they said to the brahmana's wife, you know, they were carrying like on a bamboo stick with a sack of food in the middle, we have brought this food for, you know, our guru, Arjunacharya, your husband, and you know, he has sent us here, and you know, we will leave very quickly because we're afraid he may come and beat us again. And his wife saying, what? You know, my husband is not so cruel. He beat his little children, beautiful little boys. You know, what are you saying? And then, you know, Krishna showed you, that he beat us because we were slow in bringing the foods. And Krishna showed on his back and all these red scratch marks where he'd been beaten like that. So anyway, you know, the brahmana's wife said, no, you come in, I'll cook some nice, you know, food and look after you. Anyway, she started cooking, but they disappeared because they were, you know, a bit anxious. So anyway, she cooked and then she sat down, and after cooking she began to eat that food. Now generally that's not done in a Vedic society, because generally, you know, the wife, they would wait for the husband to come home and they would have that. So anyway, when the husband came home and he saw his, you know, his wife sitting there eating like this, you know, he challenged her, and she challenged him. Oh, you're going to challenge me? You know, why are you so cruel beating those two little boys? He said, what little boys? I haven't beaten anyone. He said, they came here, they told me that you had beaten them. So then he asked, you know, you tell me, what did they look like? And when she told him how beautiful those boys, he began to suspect that maybe they were Krishna and Balaram. And he went and saw his Bhagavad Gita, and he saw that where he had crossed out in red, that was gone, and the words were back again. So, and then he understood that Krishna had personally come to prove his statement that I personally will look after my devotees. That he understood. So, you know, Krishna is giving his assurance, and you know, you can take his word on it. If we execute Krishna consciousness with great determination, you'll be happy in this life and happy in the next. And therefore, Rukmini, she says, because you are suitable for me, I have chosen you the master and supreme soul of all the worlds, who fulfill our desires in this life and the next. May your feet, which give freedom from illusion, by approaching the worshipper, give shelter to me, who have been wandering from one material situation to another. So I've probably gone on a little bit long, but if there's any quick questions...